Well, good morning, church. I absolutely love the summertime, like I'm sure most of you guys do. And for me, I love it because it's a chance just to slow down. It's a time to spend some time with family, with loved ones, with friends, to take a couple weeks off of just the normal grind of the year and just really enjoy time to slow down and to invest in people that you guys love and care about, and to get outside. I mean, in Canada, we only have like 2 months of the year that we can actually get outside. So this is a beautiful time for us to enjoy everything that God has blessed us with in nature. And for me, one of the highlights when I was in junior high and in high school, one of the highlights for me growing up in the summertime was the opportunity I got once a summer to invite some of my closest friends up to our family cottage and just have fun. And I was lucky enough that some of my closest friends were also lovers of Jesus. And when they came up to the cottage, it was inevitable at some point on this trip, maybe some of you guys have been there when you're camping with your friends or up at the cottage with your friends, it was inevitable that we found ourselves around a campfire in deep conversation. And now, as junior high boys, the deep conversation kind of went something like this. You know, guys, is it time? Is this the year where we start wearing cologne? Like, is this it? Because there's this girl at school that, man, maybe this is the year that she's going to finally like me. I don't know. And then the conversation kind of progressed to, I remember one year one of my friends was obsessed with beating the original Super Mario game on the original Nintendo console. And he was like, God, do you think if we can get together and we could do an all-nighter, this could be the year where we beat the final level of Super Mario, which we never did, by the way. And all these conversations kind of had these questions to it. And throughout the night, as you're kind of comfortable around the campfire, and you know, you're looking up at the stars and you're just in amazement of God's creation and just how big this universe is and how small we are, the conversation starts to become more humbling, right? You get into conversation more about things from the past year that have gone on. So one year, I remember asking my friends, why is it that my grandfather had to pass away? I mean, he was so young. And you guys still all have your grandparents still around. Why did I have to lose mine? And I remember another year, one of my friends asking, why did my dad have to pass away? You know, like, you guys still have your dads. Why did mine have to pass away? And when we were going through high school, the question was always, dude, what's after high school? Like, what's university like? What's like, college? What's that like? Job? What do you want to do in your life? I don't know. What do you want to do? Dude, what's marriage like? Like, we're asking all these questions around the campfire, and it was inevitable that these questions led to the ultimate why question. You know that question that you guys and girls, you all ask yourself at some point in your life? And for most of us, we ask ourselves this question a lot. And for some of us, this question keeps us up at night. The great why of God question. It was inevitable at some point at the campfire, we all asked this question. Someone brought it up. And looking up at the stars, God, why are we here? I mean, we look back at the year, there were some great times and there were some really challenging times. And this universe is huge and there's stars everywhere and we're just one little blip on the radar. And God, why are we here? Why? God, why did you form us in the first place? Why did you make us? And if you're visiting today and you're just checking us out today, maybe your question was more just, why am I here? Maybe you took God out of the equation and you just asked, why am I here? I mean, whether you're a believer in Jesus today and in God or not, this is a question we all wrestle with. This is a question we all ask ourselves. And when we sat around the campfire, me and a few of my close friends, we would all remind ourselves the answer to this question. We would bring up God's word and we would challenge each other and say, man, don't you remember God's truth, what it says about this? Don't you remember why we're going through these trials this past year? And once we got to the answer to that question, and once we kind of reminded ourselves of the answer to that question, it laid a foundation for us to now go back and answer all the other questions we had that night. Oh, that's right. That's the truth that I needed to be reminded of. And so now I can answer in a way better way the other questions that we had that night. Well, we're going through this series called When Opportunity Knocks, and this series is all about sharing your faith. And Dave, Pastor Dave's been going through a couple weeks now of ways that we can share our faith, and I'm really excited for next week. You guys don't want to miss next week because our very own Zach Boot, who's our media director, he's going to be here talking to us for the very first time about how to leverage technology to share your faith. I mean, it's going to be a pretty cool talk. The following week, we're going to have our very own Dr. Isaac Odami here talking about sharing your faith. And then Dave's going to wrap it up at the end with just conversational things that we can say when we're talking to people about sharing our faith. But when I was asked to speak, I thought, we really just got to take a step back. And instead of just coming here and you guys maybe getting a pointer or two from me on how I share my faith with people in my life, I want to take a step back and say, well, why? I mean, why share our faith in the first place? I mean, what's the reason? I mean, if you're a Christian today, I just have to put this on the table. Today is going to be a tough talk. And some of you won't like some of the stuff that I say, but I hope today you leave encouraged, being sent out on mission today. And if you are a non-Christian in this room today, and again, you're checking us out, just like Rob said, we are so glad that you are here. And maybe you've wondered for a long time now, what's with Christians? Like, why do Christians come up to me and awkwardly talk to me about their faith? You know, why do Christians keep inviting me out to church? What's that all about? And maybe you're here today because someone's invited you and you're sitting beside that person today. And again, we are so glad that you are here. And today, hopefully, we can answer that question for you. But in order to really answer the question of why we're called to share our faith, why it's important to share our faith, we have to do what I used to do at the campfire with my friends. We have to take a step back and answer the great why of God question first. God, why are we here? Why did you form us? Why do I have 60, 70, 80 years, if I'm lucky, on this earth? Why? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to start off with asking this question. And think about it. Why would the self-sufficient God of this universe, who lacks nothing in himself, why would he create us? Why would he make us? Now, today I want to be crystal clear. I am not assuming to know exhaustively the mind and the motives of God, nor do I want to oversimplify his ways today. But it seems pretty clear to me that God's word tells us why he made us. In fact, he lays out a twofold purpose as to why he made us. You see, Genesis, the first book of the Bible, starts out by saying this, that we have been created, first reason, to enjoy his grace. We have been put on this earth as human beings, humanity, to enjoy his grace. You know, there's a gentleman named Moses. I think we should all probably know Moses in some capacity. Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai, Egypt, Exodus. This is the same Moses. Years later, he sat down and he penned a book called Genesis to explain to us as people who we are, where we came from, what our purpose and mission is in life. And he starts off Genesis by saying, hey, listen, humanity, you guys have been made and formed to enjoy the Creator's grace. And he starts off Genesis by using this picture of you have been made in his image, which means you have been created, you're the only creeping creatures on this planet who have been made to enjoy the grace of God, which means you have been made to enjoy relationship with God. You have been made to enjoy his love, his mercy, his guidance, his wisdom, his comfort, his counsel, to lead and guide you in your life. You are able to pour out your heart to him and for him to guide you in your life and strengthen you. This is our first reason why we're made. And listen, some of you this morning, from the moment you wake up to the time you go to sleep, you get this. Because God is leading you. He's guiding you. He is inspiring and strengthening you today. And for some of us, from the moment we wake up to the time we go to sleep, we are trying to do it all on our own, right? Like, I'm just trying to deal with my kids. Like, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to push through this. Work is so crazy. I'm doing this. I'm pushing through. I can make it. I can live till tomorrow. I can get through today. The ebbs and flows, the stresses, the anxieties of today, we are trying to do it on our own. And I want to tell you something. You were never made to do it on your own. First reason God put us on this earth was to enjoy his grace, which means to be in relationship with him. But it doesn't end there. The story doesn't end there. You see, we have been made in his image to enjoy a relationship with him. And Moses uses this word blessing to describe this relationship. But right after he brings up this blessing to explain why we're here as humans, he follows it up with a command. And this is what he says in our first reading today in Genesis. Genesis 1 verse 28. He says, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and govern it.'" Now check this out. We are image bearers, but the story doesn't end there. You see, we are called to be image bearers of God, but then we're called to multiply his image throughout the world. You see, you have been created, I have been created to enjoy relationship, to enjoy fellowship with God, to enjoy his blessings and his mercies in our life. But then we're called to extend his glory, extend his grace, extend his goodness around the world, to all peoples, to all nations. This is why we're here. You see, he created human beings not only to enjoy relationship with him, but to extend it. And this is the twofold purpose of the creation of humanity in Genesis 1 that sets the foundation for the rest of the Bible. You see, the rest of the Bible revolves around this exact calling, this exact purpose. I mean, any book in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, any time in history that the Bible covers, what we see is God overwhelming humanity with his grace for the sake of his glory among the nations. I mean, this is a beautiful thing. This is what we're going to do today. And again, if you're new here today, we don't usually do this, but I had to do this to really get the point out today. We're going to go through some scripture a lot. And I need you guys to follow along, okay? So if you are like, man, I've been a Christian since I was 2, you can pull out your Bible and you can try to read along. Maybe you've done those sword drills so you can find these really quick. But if you're like me and you're just not going to get there, then it's going to be on the screen. Just relax and let's do this together, okay? Here we go. Let's go through this because this is so important, this reason why we're made. Check it out. In Genesis 12, verse 12, humanity does what a lot of us do today. After Genesis 1, humanity walks away from God and says, we can do it on our own. Thank you, God. See you later. And we screwed it up and we got into a mess. And God says, hold on a second. I want relationship with you guys again. So he picked a guy named Abraham. And this is what he says to Abraham. He says, I, God, will make you, Abraham, into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. And then God connects his promise to Abraham with a deeper purpose. This is what he says. He says, all nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. You see, God blesses Abraham abundantly, but not ultimately for Abraham's sake. You see, he blesses Abraham so that Abraham will be a conduit of his blessing to the rest of the peoples around him. He goes to Abraham and says, Abraham, listen, I'm going to give you my love and my grace, and you don't even know me, Abraham. I've gone to you out of my grace, and I've picked you, and I've introduced myself to you, and now we're in relationship together, and I'm going to give you love and guidance and direction. Man, I'm going to give you resources. You're going to have health and money and a lot of cows. That was a big thing back then, and tunics and all these great things, and I'm going to be in a relationship and guide and lead you. But Abraham, it's not for your sake. It's so that you can take my blessing and extend it to all nations around you, so that it would radiate out of your life so other people would see my glory and my grace. And we see this again. I mean, think of the Exodus story. Do you guys ever think about this? I mean, God leads his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, okay? And then he takes them to the Red Sea, and these guys don't have their swimming lessons courses. They don't know how to swim. I mean, they're stranded. And to make matters worse, they have the Egyptian army coming up on them. Now, check it out. The Egyptian army back then was your Roman Empire, was your American, was your Chinese, was your Russian Empire of today. These guys were coming up behind them, and these guys were stranded. They couldn't swim in the water. They were going to have this army come up behind them and totally slaughter them. Well, God, why would you do this? Like, why put me in this situation? Listen to God's motive right here. He says this, I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Did you ever think about that? I mean, God, why did you put these guys in this situation? He took them to the edge of the Red Sea. The Egyptians were all there, were all present. And then he miraculously parts the water, dries the land, and saves his people while the Egyptians get swallowed up in the rearview mirror of the Hebrews. And you say, why? And God says, I'm making this moment happen. Not for you guys, but to gain glory for myself. You see, check it out. When the rest of the Egyptians that survived that went home, and they told all the other Egyptians in Egypt, and being the empire they were, every single country that went into Egypt following that, everyone would have known from that moment on that the God of the Hebrews, he is the Lord, and he saves his people. I mean, how can you argue that? Think of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were three guys who loved God, like some of you today. They're devoted to God. They love God. They gave up everything for God, and then God put them in a fiery furnace. I mean, here's a question that we all ask. Why would a loving God do that? I mean, why would a loving God put people that love him in a fiery furnace? I mean, it makes you think next time you're called to take a stand for God, right? Like, God, what's going to happen? And this is his motive. This is why God says he allows this to happen. Because a lot of us, we know the story, but we don't read the very end to get to the point. And this is the end of the story in Daniel chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other god who can rescue like this." You see, the very king who declared at the beginning of the story that everyone had to bow down to him and he was God is now saying, no, 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 that's the God. And if anyone says anything bad about this God, then you will be killed. You see, God put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a very bad situation. And some of you guys find yourself in these situations in your life. He put them in a horrible situation. Why? So he could save them from that situation. And so that King Nebuchadnezzar would then declare that that is the one true God, and everyone from every nation should exalt him for saving his people. You see, God blesses his people. And some of us can testify to this. God blesses his people, and he's in the business of blessing his people in miraculous and sometimes really weird ways for the sake of his glory, so people will know that he saves, so that your friends, so that your community, that the people around you will look and say, there's something going on. That God saved that person. I mean, think of the Psalms. You have David, one of the most beloved people in Scripture. And this is what he says in Psalm 23, verse 3. He says, "He, God, guides me along the right paths." Why? For his name's sake. You say, but David was a God after, he was a man after God's own heart. This guy was, he was so amazing. David says, yeah, he guides me along the right path. He blesses me. He leads me. He guides me. He gives me all these resources in my life. Why? For his name's sake. Think of the prophets. I mean, so many books in the Old Testament from the prophets. And the theme of all the prophets is, God, you are a God of mercy. You have just overwhelmed your people with mercy. Why? So that his people would go out into all nations and proclaim that our God saves. Ezekiel 36 is probably, it probably contains some of the most startling words from God. I mean, it's just, these words are crazy. And see, what's happening again is God's people have walked away from him. And they're like, we can do it on our own. God, it's okay. And they end up just doing some really bad stuff. And God's going to explain here in this passage what he's going to do and why. This is Ezekiel 36. God says this, "Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. I am doing it to protect my holy name, on which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations. I will show you how holy my great name is, the name on which you brought shame among the nations. And when I reveal my holiness through you before their very eyes, says the sovereign Lord, then the nations will know that I am the Lord." You see, God goes so far here as to say, listen, when I act on behalf of my people, when I save my people, when I bless my people, when I show mercy to my people, it's not for their name's sake. It's for my holy name's sake amongst all peoples. I mean, this is the global purpose of God for humanity from the beginning, through all Old Testament, and then it carries over into the New Testament. And if you are a Jesus lover today, this is Jesus' story. I mean, while we were still sinners, while we were in our lowest state, Jesus came and he saved us. But the story doesn't end there, right? I mean, Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Okay, I've interceded. I've saved. I have now invited you back into a relationship with me. And some of us in this room today, we're like, yes, that is us. He has done that in my life. And Jesus says, okay, great. Now extend it. I've saved you, not for your sake, but for my glory. Extend it to the nations. Matthew 28, go into the world. Go into your jobs. Go into the places you live. Go into the places you play. I mean, this is Jesus' purpose for what he has done. And then you see it through the letters of the saints, of the apostles, of Peter, of James, of John, of Timothy. They're journeying with these churches, and they're saying, listen, we are going through tribulation. We are going through trial as churches. Why? For the sake of the glory of God's name, so that it would be spread out throughout all the world. And then we see the climax of God's purpose fulfilled in Revelation. In the last book of the Bible, this is a book, if you guys don't know, this is a book that the disciple John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, wrote as an encouragement to the churches that were being persecuted in the first century. I mean, they were just facing horrible persecution. And John says, let me show you. Jesus has revealed to me what's going to happen in the end. Be encouraged by this. And for us today, church, we need to be encouraged by this too. This is what he says. And just imagine this. As I'm reading this, John writes this, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. You see, in the beginning, God's purpose was to bless his people so that all peoples would glorify him for his salvation. And now at the end of all time, this is fulfilled. And every people group from every country that speaks every language, there are peoples from every group that are bowing before God. And I love this. They're not just saying. They're not just whispering. They're not just singing a little bit. They, with a mighty roar, are belting out, salvation comes from our God. We will bless him. We will praise him for his name's sake because he saves us. He has saved us. And this, getting back to our question at the beginning, this is the one ultimate, overwhelming, glorious purpose that God has for humanity. This is the great why of God question. You see, God blesses his people with extravagant grace so that they might extend his extravagant glory to all peoples on the earth. And this is the basic fundamental truth that floods Scripture from beginning to end. Okay, Brock, just hold on a second. Okay, that's a lot I just took in here. So get back to this question of why do I have to share my faith? Because that's what the series is all about. So why do I have to share my faith? Because you have been saved for this exact purpose. That's why you've been saved. But today, let's talk about attention for a second. Let's bring it back to us today. Today, I wonder if we unknowingly ignore the purpose of God in our life. I mean, if we're not careful today, hear me out, we can disconnect the grace of God with the glory of God. I mean, we love talking about the grace of God. I love talking about the grace of God. I've been up here and spoken on the grace of God. And we love buying books on it, hearing sermons about it, going to conferences about it. We're grace people. We love grace. And don't get me wrong, grace is the most amazing news. I mean, we should stand in wonder at the undeserving grace that we have received from God. But if you disconnect grace from its purpose, then all you have left is a self-centered Christianity that totally bypasses the heart of God. You see, if I were to ask the average Christian, what's the message of Christianity? I mean, what's the essence of Christianity? Do you know what I think what some people would say? The message of Christianity is that God loves me. And if I were to poke and say, really? Like, is there more to it? Tell me more. You'd say, well, okay, The message of Christianity is that God loves me, and he showed me that he loves me by sending his son Jesus to die for me. As wonderful as that news is, and it is, I mean, that's so amazing. Isn't it kind of unbiblical? I mean, based on everything we just read, isn't that kind of incomplete? I mean, if the message of Christianity is that God loves me, then who's the object of Christianity? Me. God loves me. Me. I'm the object of Christianity. And if that's the case, if I'm the object of Christianity, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and pick a church with the music and the programs and everything that's great for me. I'm going to live a life and pick a job and have a career and pick a wife and raise my kids in a way that benefits me. Because I am the object of my faith. The universe revolves around me. But this isn't biblical. I mean, look at everything we just read. I mean, God loves me is not the message of Christianity. God loves me, period, is not the message of Christianity. The universe does not revolve around me. The message of Christianity is God loves me so that I can make him known among all nations. Now God is the object of our faith. Christianity centers on him. And the gospel message doesn't end with me. It ends with him. Him. And now some of you guys are going to be on the ball right now, and you're going to be a little shocked by this. And you're going to say, well, hold on a second. Are you telling me that God has an ulterior motive in blessing me? Well, based on everything. Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yes. You see, you are not at the center of his universe. Let me just say that again. You are not at the center of God's universe. God is at the center of God's universe. And everything God does revolves around God. And now some of you guys who are really quick and smart, I wrote this question down just for you, you're going to say this. Okay, well, if that's true, if this universe revolves around God, doesn't that make him selfish? I mean, if the sole purpose of God is to exalt and glorify God, doesn't that make him a pretty selfish God? And that's a great question. Until you pause and think about a follow-up question. Well, who else would you have him put at the center of the universe? Who else would you have him exalt? Who else would you have him glorify? Because you see, the moment that God puts anyone else at the center of his universe, the moment that God exalts and worships anyone else other than himself, he is no longer the great God worthy of all worship in this universe, which he is. You see, I want you guys to hear this morning. God loves you. And I'm not trying to take away from that at all this morning. God loves each of us so much. In fact, it's just a crazy, silly love that God has for us. But God's love and his passion for us does not center on you. It centers on his glory and his compassion and his mercy and his grace and his amazingness so that it will go out into all nations. You see, it's a fundamental truth in Scripture. If we're Christians today and we hold fast to God's word, it's a fundamental truth. God creates, God blesses, God saves. Each of us. Why? For his global purpose. You say, Brock, okay, just catch me up to speed here. So why should I share my faith? Because God has created you. He's blessed you. Yeah, he has blessed me. He saved you. Yeah, he has saved me. So you can be a part of his global purpose of bringing his glory and his grace and his renown to all the peoples that you guys rub shoulders with in your life. You see, I know this is hard to hear this morning because we live in the Western world that says everything's about us. But I need to tell you this morning, it's not about you. It's never been about you. Don't make it about you. Don't receive God's grace and hold on to it. I mean, really, how? How can you receive the greatest news you've ever heard? That despite your horribleness and my horribleness, I mean, we all know who we are inside. Despite who you are, There is a God who loves you unconditionally for what you have done, for what you will do in the future, and what you're doing right now. He still loves you and wants relationship with you and is willing to put all of that aside. And he showed it to you because he died for you on the cross and he saved you. How can you hold on to that grace and then not extend it? I mean, really? But here's a huge issue. Here's a huge, huge excuse that we all give ourselves. And I do this all the time too. We say this. The biggest line of defense that we do sometimes is this. Well, Brock, listen, I'm just not called to missions. I'm not called to missions. Right? Johnny over there, Johnny, man, he's got a heart for missions. That guy loves sharing Jesus with people, and he's really good at it. So here's what I think we should do as a church. I think we should all pool our money together, have a spaghetti dinner, and really just bless this guy and send him overseas to share Jesus with some other people. That's what we should do. And that's a great idea, except here's a question I have for you guys. Show me one verse in the Bible that says missions is optional for Christians. Just one. I mean, where in the Bible does it say that only one or two people in the church have to share Jesus with other people? I mean, we just read that you have been created, you have been blessed, and you've been saved so that you can be a part of God's global purpose of bringing his name to people that you guys know. Now, I want you guys to hear me this morning. And this is, if you don't hear anything else and you've just totally just looked up from looking at your iPhone, check this out. All right, just listen to me for 1 second. Missions is not a calling. Sharing your faith is not a calling. It's your purpose. It's why you're here. Let's not belittle it to a calling and say that only Johnny and Sarah should go and share Jesus with other people. It's your purpose. It's not a calling. It's not a calling. And listen, if you do this today, if you leave here today and you say, Brock, listen, great guy, don't agree with anything he said, I'm just going to go out and continue just to receive the grace of God and not extend it, here's what's going to happen to you. You are going to settle for less than the best that God has for you. You see, because you're going to be a Christian that leaves here today without purpose. And listen, if some of you guys are honest today, because I know some of you are sleepy, tired, and bored as Christians, if we're being honest, right? You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, man, there was a time where I received Jesus in my life, maybe when I went through a dramatic experience, maybe when I had kids and I saw God's grace in unbelievable ways, but now I'm just kind of sleepy, tired, and bored. I haven't seen Jesus in a while. I haven't experienced him. I'm thinking about walking away from him. He just doesn't seem relevant and real to me in my life anymore. Do you want to know why? Because you're sitting on the sidelines. Because you've enjoyed the grace of God, and now he's like, okay, now take that grace. And listen, I'm putting people in your life. I'm creating opportunities for you. And all I really want you to do is go to these people, bring up my name in conversation, tell them how you've been saved, pray for these people, and then watch my spirit do unbelievable things in those people's lives around you. I mean, it's hard to really be on fire for Jesus if you don't really bring Jesus into your life and let him do some pretty awesome stuff. I mean, how can we be Christians without purpose? Now let's talk about calling. We're going to wrap this up for a second because some of you guys are going to be like, but I am called. Like, I'm called to my job. I'm called to do this. And listen, Sarah over there, she's gifted with this. And Tony, he's over there, he's gifted with that. And that's all true. So let's separate our purpose from our callings for a second, okay? We all have gifts and we all have talents and we all have skills and we all have callings in our life, okay? And this is so evident in the early church. I mean, you had Mary, you had Martha, you had, you know, Priscilla and Aquila and all the apostles and all these amazing people. They all had different gifts and talents, and they were all called to different places. Some were doctors, some were nurses, you know, some were tent makers, some went to Italy or India or all these different places. They all had different gifts and callings, but they all understood one thing, that they all had the same purpose. They were all given their talents and callings to leverage those for the purpose that was set out before them. I mean, think of the Great Commission. Why do you think God gives us the Holy Spirit? I mean, he gives them the Holy Spirit and then he sends them out with the same plan. Go and make disciples to all nations. Fulfill the purpose that I have called you to. And isn't it the same today? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I have some great Christian friends in my life. And when I sit down with them, one of my Christian friends, a doctor, and when I sit down with him, I mean, it's no secret. This guy's got gifts and talents that I do not have. I mean, I sit down with him, and he's doing world change around the world for God's glory. in hospitals and everything, right? And then I'm a pastor who's been called to be a pastor. I still don't know the difference between mitosis and meiosis. I mean, that's me. I still struggle with grade 9 biology, okay? I mean, we both have different skills and talents, but at the end of the day, we both understand that we've been given different skills and talents for the same purpose. To leverage our gifts, leverage our talents. Listen, you guys, man, Etsy's out there today, and you guys, some of you guys are just unbelievable with your talents and skills. I can never do some of that stuff. I mean, we're all different. We're all skilled and blessed in different ways, but we have to understand that we've been blessed and gifted and called for the same purpose. So leverage those things. And so when I sit with my friend, you know, we have to ask ourselves questions like, how am I leading my life? How am I leading my family? How am I leading in my job to bring glory to God? How am I doing that? Because we're sold out for the fact that that's why we've been created, to fulfill this global purpose that God has put us here for. So leverage it. Leverage whatever you guys have. So, how do I fulfill my purpose of bringing glory to God? If you guys haven't clued in to all the little hints and insinuations that I've given you so far, okay, Brock, you are telling me that I am saved, I am redeemed, I am in relationship with God to bring glory to his great name. How do I bring glory to his great name? How do I be a world changer? By making disciples. By making disciples. I mean, that's it. I mean, think of Paul. We're going to wrap up with this passage today. Paul literally says this in the church. If you guys don't know Paul, he was one of the guys that helped really start the church post-Jesus and when Jesus went up to heaven. And this is his heart. Like, this is what he thinks about missions. This is what he says about the nations. This is what he says. I love this. Paul says, I am in debt to Jews and Gentiles. I mean, that's some pretty strong language. He says, I'm in debt to the nations. Okay, Gentiles are just anyone not Jewish, so I'm in debt to everybody. He literally says, here, guys, listen, anyone that's walking on this face of the earth right now, I owe Jesus to. And he breaks it down later, and he says, listen, because I'm owned by Jesus, I now owe Jesus to the world. Paul's telling the church, listen, anyone on this side of heaven owes Jesus to everyone on this side of hell. We owe it to the world, to the smartest, to the silliest, to the meanest, to the nicest, to the biggest, to the smallest, and everyone in between. We owe Jesus to the world. You can't receive Jesus and be owned by Jesus and then not understand why he's called you. You have to take that now and extend it. And Paul says, I get this, man. And man, you won't believe what Jesus has done for me. And now I owe Christ to them. Listen, in closing, ask yourself this question. Do you ever wonder why you? I mean, I ask myself this all the time. Why me? I mean, why have I been blessed in this time in history, in this country, with a family that provides for me? Why have I been blessed with money, with an education, with a job? You know, why have I been blessed with all these things when so many people around me aren't? I mean, why have I been gifted with salvation? Why have I been able to see Jesus when other people around me struggle to even believe there's even a thing that's created all this? Well, what if the very reason you have breath today is because you've been saved for God's global purpose? And settling for anything less than a passionate involvement in this relationship will be selling God short and frustrating the very purpose that you are alive. You see, we are called, believe it or not, Christians, we are called to impact this world. I know it sounds idealistic. Yeah, all right, impact the world. I get it. Okay. But doesn't it sound biblical? I mean, you've been created and blessed and saved to be a part of God's global purpose. And what if we as a church, we woke up to the reality that you have been blessed and everything you have is to be a part of this global purpose? I mean, think about it just for a second. You don't have money. You haven't been blessed with money. You haven't been blessed with an education. You haven't been blessed with your health so that you can just turn around and spend it all on yourself. Really? Like, really? I mean, we don't have a church today. Check this out. This is at the heartbeat of leadership here at Westside. We don't have a church here today just for Christians, just for ourselves. Everything we have is a blessing from God for his glory. Well, how do I bring glory to God? By making disciples. This church is now in the business of making disciples. Yes, we will pick music and we will dress like this and we will be funny and do weird stuff with our kids program because we are called as a church to bring glory to God by making disciples. So we're going to ask ourselves a very important question. What do unbelievers think of Jesus? What do they dress like? What kind of music do they listen to? That's us. That's where we're headed. Listen, and you guys, it's the same in your life. Holy wow, look at my paycheck this week. Yeah, what are you going to do with it? Why are you here? Why have you been saved? Why has God blessed you abundantly? It's for his glory. So what are you going to do with it? Are we going to be a people on mission, on purpose? Listen, God's blessed you to show his love, his mercy, and his grace to all the people that you rub shoulders with in your networks. And this is why you have what you have. This is why you have an education. This is why you have an income. This is why you have resources. Do you guys want to know the formal definition of impact? I didn't know it, so I had to look it up. It's this. Impact is a forcible contact between two things. And what if I told you today, as Christians, that's why you've been saved. That's why you've been called. You have been designed to be on a collision course with this world. And what if this isn't only biblical, but this is possible? I mean, what if we, starting here in the West End of Hamilton, we came together and we surrendered our hearts to God's purpose in our lives? I mean, Brock, it's hard. It's awkward. It's weird. I know. But what if we came together as a community that supported each other and surrendered our hearts to God's purpose for our lives? What if we, not just some of us, not just Johnny and Sarah, but what if all of us came together and said, man, we are going to leverage our talents. We are going to leverage our gifts and our callings, and we are going to go out this week, and we are going to extend the grace of God in this neighborhood, in our jobs, in our families, the places we play. We're going to extend this grace. I mean, you know what happened? If we surrendered our hearts to this purpose, I mean, we would impact the world. We would change the world for God's glory. I mean, I'm 35, and I'm starting to ask some big questions, you know, of my life. And I know some of you guys are younger, some of you guys are older. But isn't that what you want, to leave a legacy? I mean, don't you feel, Christians, that God's put something bigger on your heart? He's put eternity on your hearts? Don't you want to impact the world? Don't you want to impact your kids? Don't you want to impact your neighborhoods? This is what God's put on our hearts. But we got to surrender our hearts to his purpose. Listen, I'm going to end with this today, and I'm just going to be real for a second, because some of you guys are going to be like, dude, listen, this sounds awesome, but this is so hard. And that's why I'm excited for the next few weeks for Zach and some of the other people to be coming and practically helping us out a little bit with how to do this. But if we're talking strategy here for a second, and I really wish I could have spoken on this as well, but if you look at Jesus, I mean, he was called by his heavenly Father to change the world. He was called to revolutionize the world. Do you want to know how he did it? He didn't start a megachurch. He didn't book a huge amphitheater or a coliseum and spend millions and millions of dollars. He didn't do that. Do you want to know how Jesus revolutionized the world? He picked 12 guys, and he invested in those 12 guys. And he walked with them, and he talked with them, and he showed them what it means to be in a relationship with God. Listen, Jesus didn't go to his disciples and book an online course on praying so they could learn how to pray. He didn't send them off to university to learn how to pray. You know what he did? He sat and prayed with them. I mean, he walked with these 12 guys. And do you want to know what Jesus did? By just mentoring and walking along for 3 years, 12 guys, he changed the world. And listen, a huge strategy for you guys is who are you guys reaching in your life? Who am I reaching? I mean, maybe it's not 12, maybe it's 5. Who's your 5 that you're investing in, that you're journeying with, that you're walking with in your life? You see, Brock, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to say. You know, there's a verse that always encourages me with what to say when I'm hanging out with my unbelieving friends. And this is it. Do we have it there, guys? In John, you have the story of the blind man. And some of you guys are going to know the story. He's a blind man, and he is totally disconnected with who Jesus is. He's heard of him. And he's sitting on the side of the road, down and out, no education, just a simple guy. And Jesus comes along, and he touches his eyes, and he heals him. And for the reader, this is symbolic. I mean, there's no one that can do that except God. So he does this. And then you have the religious elite and all the people that are opposed to Jesus, right? Kind of like people that we know in our lives. And they go up to the blind man and say, how are you able to see? And he says, well, Jesus did it. And they said, no, Jesus isn't God. He's a sinner, just like me and you. And this is what the blind man says at the end. He says, I don't know whether Jesus is a sinner, the man replied, but I know this. I was blind, and now I see. And you know, when you guys go out and you guys are hanging out with your Christian friends, and they're going to ask you guys some tough questions. And listen, the Bible is pretty clear that the Spirit will lead us. It will give us words to say. But even if you're in that moment and you're just totally stumbling, I always refer back to the blind man. Listen, guys, I don't know how to answer all your questions. I'm willing to journey with you, and I'm going to learn these questions, answers to your questions too. But here's what I do know, that I was blind, and now I see. Listen, I was lost, and now I'm found. Listen, I was here, and now I'm saved. And listen, all I can tell you guys is that Jesus is real, and he is alive in me, and he saved me. And he can do the same for you. And listen, as we close today, this is the message that the world needs to hear, that Jesus saves. That he is a God of salvation. And if you guys don't think that this is the essence of what we need to talk about, I mean, look at the world around us. It's crying out for a savior. It's crying out for saving. Do you want to know, this week I had a guy that came into my office, this huge guy, big dad. And he sat down in a chair beside me, and I'm just starting to get to know this guy. Doesn't know Jesus. He came in and sat in a chair beside me, put his hands in his laps, and just started weeping. Like just crying. Because his life is broken. And I didn't know what to say in that moment other than, listen, I'm willing to journey with you and do what Jesus did and just be in a relationship with you and love you and care for you and show you Jesus in my life. And listen, at the end of the day, you're broken, and I know you need saving. And you know you need saving. Our world knows it needs saving. I mean, come on, how obsessed are we with all these Marvel comic characters? I mean, we know we need saving. So bring that message to them and let God do the rest. And pray for these people that God would do some beautiful things in their life. Listen, if you guys are new today, I'm really sorry that we had to talk about this. This is kind of an awkward conversation if you're here in this room. But I need you to know something really important. If you are someone that doesn't know Jesus today, we do not go to you guys and share our faith and get in awkward conversations with you because we like that. We do not want to impose ourselves on you guys. In fact, we're terrified to do it a lot of the time. But hear me out. We go to you and we share our faith with you and we invite you to church for one reason. Because we love you. Because we love you. And we think it's the greatest message. That's it. So don't be upset with us when we come and share our faith with you guys and keep inviting you out to church. Let's pray. Father God, we know this is a really challenging purpose that you have laid out for our lives. God, we thank you for the reminder all through Scripture, God, of why you have made us, why you have blessed us, why you have allowed us to receive your salvation in our lives. And God, we do, as your children this morning, we want to thank you for calling us, for saving us. God, we stand overwhelmed at your grace in our lives. I mean, God, the scriptures even tell us that even now, while we sin, and in the future as we sin, you have already forgiven us, and you love us. And there's nothing more that you want than to be in relationship with us and to walk and to journey with us. But God, today we've been reminded, and it's a pretty challenging talk, that it can't end here. God, that we have to extend this grace. God, this is terrifying for us, and it's really hard. I pray, God, that today we would receive this message, and that today we would really, this afternoon, this week, we would reflect in our own lives of who it is that we are investing in that doesn't know you. Who are we journeying with, God? Who are we sharing you and your salvation message with? God, I pray that you would just empower us, that you would lead and guide us, convict us, God. And God, if there are people in this room today that just don't have any non-believers in their lives, I pray that you would bring them into their lives, that they would be willing to go to the places. God, we need your strength. We need you to uphold us and to lead us and to guide us. And God, we are sorry for the times that we've made it more about us than about you. God, I pray that we would be a church in this neighborhood that not only receives your grace and celebrates your grace and praises you for our grace, but that we would leave here each week and then extend your grace out to those in our lives that don't know you. God, we love you, and we thank you for this reminder this morning. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, who died for us and gave us salvation. Amen.